So it's our honor to have on the line with us our brother Frank Brown from the December 12 movement. And Frank, we have to all kudos, congratulations to December 12 for keeping straight on the line, you know, keep moving in the direction of organization, in the direction of discipline, and for this event that happened yesterday. How are you today, my brother?
I'm doing well, and first and foremost, thank you for having me on the program. I just want to salute you as well for being accountable in terms of addressing the serious issues in the black community, because it's very important that we take a position when it comes to these serious issues as police brutality.
If Frank, tell us, why did you guys organize this protest yesterday? How do you guys feel the demonstration went? And what is the message that you have for our community?
Well, we took we organized this because just like the black community, we are we understand the anger that the community feels with what's going on with police brutality, because we've seen it before and we continuously see it, and we realize that we have to take a position, and we understand that there are demonstrations, there are uprisings happening all throughout the nation, and we took a position that we need to take leadership in what's happening now, because it has to be properly identified when you're talking about what's going on in the United States. Police brutality seems like it's not going to stop, and the only way we can stop it is by having an organized effort. Our message to the people was to defund the police. Like, we understand that the police department has a $6 billion budget. We ask ourselves, where is this money going to, and why is it that we're consistently seeing black people, unarmed black people, being killed by police? There has to be some approach to that situation. There has to be an outrage, and yesterday we represented that outrage.
At a certain point during the protest, it felt like there were five or eight, I don't know, more than one protest going on. But even though the sound system was not, you know, big, sophisticated stuff, D12 took control of the demonstration. How did this happen? What happened?
We made a decision that, first of all, we came to the community and we had our flyer, our posters, rather, throughout the area, and we let the people know that we was coming. So the people was expecting us to be there. And once we came there, we established our position. And then we had our security formated so that we can make sure anybody who wanted to be a part of the demonstration, they had to be in line with how we were moving. And when we moved, we stopped at Restoration Plaza, and one of the chants that we were making sure that people were clear on that is defund the police. Our ability to communicate in an organized effort allowed us to take control of the large demonstration.
Yeah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Right,
yeah,
now, clear.
Yeah, I want to make it clear, when Brother Frank speaks about the $6 billion, that's just NYPD budget, you know? And what's important is while the call, you know, while the call here was to defund the police, and I have to say, it was only Assemblyman Charles Barron and his wife, City Councilwoman Inez Barron, the two public officials who were there that I saw at this protest yesterday. And we have a whole bunch of clowns, you know, like a bunch of lackeys. And just a few weeks ago, Frank, there's for the new budget, there's a proposition to cut 1% in this $6 billion, and a whole bunch of these clowns, people that you know, right now, you know, you're going to start hearing them as the protests grow and grow and grow. You're going to come and you're going to see them talking like, you know, they're down with the people, you know, no justice, no peace. But they fought. They were demanding that not only bring back this 1% that was being taken out, but to give the police more money. If you can speak on that.
I think that lets people know that there's a serious contradiction when it comes to the police, and the effort is not to protect common people. And that's why the campaign to defund the police must escalate. And the way it can escalate is to continue to be in the streets. And when we was in the streets with the thousands of people that were with us, we were able to hold up traffic. We let the whole community know that this has to stop. And the idea that the police have to be defunded must be heard from wherever you're at. Put on social media and continue the campaign, because it's the people that bring about that concrete change that is needed.
Okay, I'm going to let you go, but again, are there other actions being planned? Is there anything else that the D12 wants the community to be aware of to move towards right now?
At this point, I would just stay in touch. We have a website, www.D12movement.com. And we also have the phone number. It's Sister's Place at
718-398-1766. Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, brother. You're familiar with us. That's good. That we have a strong relationship.
718-398-1766. Thank you, Frank.
Yes, stay in touch.
Be well. Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. You preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. Knows what life is really worth. It's not all that glitter is gold, and half a story has never been told. So now we see the light. We gonna stand up for our rights. Come on, get up, stand up, brothers, stand up for your rights. Come on, get up, stand up, sisters. I'm begging you to get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. I said don't give up the fight. Cause you know most people think a great God will come from the skies and take away every little thing and left everybody dry. Right here on earth, and now we see the light. We gonna stand up for our rights. Come on, get up, stand up. Don't make them push you around. Stand up for your rights. Come on, brothers, get up, stand up. Be brave now, don't give up the fight. I say get up, stand up.
C'est ça, ça c'est Peter Tosh qui a pédi nous camper jam pour défendre droit nous et pas gon bon Dieu capral saute dans ciel là capral vinn faire toute bagarre en forme pour nous si nous pas goumen si nous pas camper goumen tonton et bien il pas gagne capral régler. So il nous pral font parler encore avec Juanita Young Et Juanita Young, c'est maman Malcolm Ferguson, un jeune garçon que la police t'a assassiné dans Bronx là, dans le mois mars 2000. Et nous-mêmes, c'est depuis le ça, nous m'a connu avec Juanita et c'est définitivement pour nous-mêmes un modèle, un héros, une femme qui goumen pour justice pour petite li, non façon que nous pas ouais aucun autre monde goumen comme ça et puis qui rivait porter victoire dans bataille que le tap mener. So it's our honor, a pleasure to have on the line with us once again Juanita Young, the mother of Malcolm Ferguson. And I always, always praise Juanita because Juanita took it all the way, despite the pressure, despite the repression from the NYPD, from all the hierarchy, from family. Juanita stayed on the path and Juanita fought for justice for her son, Malcolm Ferguson. And whenever we have these incidents that happen, tragedies, Juanita is the first person I think of to get a... How are you, Juanita? How did you feel when you heard about what happened to Brother Floyd?
It was so sad. I couldn't finish looking at the video because just hearing him struggling like that, it was just too much. And ever since then, my mind has been very troubled.
Juanita, because if you can hold the phone maybe a little closer to your mouth. And
okay. Okay. Okay, now we got it?
Much better now. Much better.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when I heard about this and I saw the video, I really, honestly got so upset. I said, what the heck? And then I started thinking. I said, we see what these cops do. Some people, but like me, when they murdered my son, I don't know what they did to him. But besides blowing his brain down. But what they did to George seems to be more like a setup. Because how you got all these cops right there, nobody's stopping him. What's going on here? Everybody's hearing this. For this past month, we have had nothing but the
media. 1 second, Juanita. Hold on 1 second. It's nous ap excuse nous semble c'est un autre appel qui croisé au mon aprèslé qui donc n'a quitté li y passé avant que nous continuer avec Juanita. Et ok, et the noise is gone, Juanita, you can continue.
Before like the last, I'll say, week, all you are hearing is police killing. They're not caring who it is or how they do it. The fact that this man, they say, was committing a crime, and the cop said he was resisting arrest and they was trying to hold him down. When is that policy that you prevent the person from breathing to hold him down? That makes no sense.
Juanita, it's like a friend of mine, we were speaking and he was talking about Michael Griffith, about so many other cases, Amadou Diallo, about all of these cases, and there's so much uprising and you always think that it's going to stop. This is going to be the one that makes it stop. And yet, it continues. I don't know what you think about that.
I thought about when I got involved in 2020, when Malcolm was murdered. From then to now.
In 2000, you said in 2020.
in 2000, when Malcolm was killed. And now we're in 2020. This is very, very... very little change. The cops are now attacking people more than ever. And even though they're bringing up the issue of how they let the white people walk in the park and attack the black people because they don't have a no mayor. And now, with a few weeks ago when that father and son ambushed that guy and killed him, and they was not about to let that cop go to jail only because they found out it was a video. Why was that guy sitting there videotaping that incident when he could have stepped in and helped the guy? That wasn't the point. The point was to kill him. I look at George. George would have been a little older than my son. And I think that's why it's really, really bothering me, because I'm like, what is it going to take? My eyes are so flooded with tears. I don't know where they're going next. I have not stopped crying from what they just did to George. With all the stuff we have been doing out there.
You know, Juanita Margarita, whenever she spoke at a protest, she would always say, until this shit gets burned down to the ground.
Yeah.
Not going to stop. And in a way, it seems like we might be going there. I don't know.
Ain't no might. I don't care who they try to blame it on. The fact of the matter is people are tired.
Mm-hmm.
And if our only way of getting attention is doing how Malcolm X said, any means necessary. Mm-hmm. And that's a form right here of people going to draw the attention that these cops are no good. One cop took off his
No, what I was going to say, because, you know, the same games they play all the time, they're starting to play it, you know. Now, you know, they put out an autopsy report, Juanita, that says that, you know, the cop's foot had nothing to do with him dying, you know. They put out now they're putting out like his criminal record, like he was a porn star, you know, and so as if this is the stuff that is coming out right now, Juanita, as if this has anything to do with that.
Right, that's my point.
So I want, because you've been through this, you've been through, you know, that Malcolm was a criminal, you know, he was this, he was that. So what kind of advice for the family, Juanita? Because every time, for the family, and I should say also for the community who are having to deal with this garbage.
Well, as far as the family goes, they need, number one, a good lawyer. Number two, a good advisor. I have to say,
a good lawyer who's not going to lead them to a settlement, right?
Right. Right. Like I went through four lawyers, and that's all they wanted was me to take a settlement. And then when I found Seth Harris, he said, "Miss Young, if you're so determined, I'm going to take the case." Because he knew it was a good thing. He said they like to give you the money so you will go away.
And he knew that you were not looking for money. You were looking for justice for your son.
Eh? Yeah, I told him. I said, I don't care what you do with the money. I need to clear my son's name. And he said, "Miss Young, don't worry about it." He cleared Malcolm's name. He made that cop tell the truth. Malcolm never went for his son. I went to Robert Johnson in the beginning and said, "Show me the fingerprints on the gun."
And Robert Johnson was at the time the district attorney in the Bronx.
Yeah, right. And he said that Malcolm shouldn't resisted. And the cop, as a child, said Malcolm never existed. So, in order for, and they got to be careful with what they tell to the media. Because So they hold on to those cases. And when the trial do come up, and they want to catch you out on something, they're going to bring it up. And it could hurt you. I know several families that hurt it because they didn't have good leadership or advice. And I was talking to another mother again, and I was telling her, I'm saying, let the lawyer do the legal work. You know your child. Talk about your child. Don't let the media destroy him. You as his mother. Talk about how he raised, what was his accomplishment. Talk positive about your child. Because that's how a lot of times people say, well, he shouldn't have been there, he shouldn't have done that. And it comes to the point where if Malcolm was handcuffed, how could he have done anything? George was handcuffed. What was he going to do? Lay him on the ground handcuffed. And people don't know how they put their little things together to justify what they said. And now they're talking about the other three cops will not be charged. There's no criminal action to be taken. Now, if that had been me and you, and we somewhere and something happened, we'd get arrested because, what did they say? Accessory to the fact. Right?
No, this is hard, Juanita. This is really hard, and to imagine that 20 years later we are dealing with this garbage. And it helps us to understand that 300 years before, 400 years before, our ancestors were dealing with the same garbage. You know, Juanita, and I really want to. I always speak about your example, and and I think that your message really has to get out more, so that, because whenever these things happen, people who are not in the situation think it's never going to happen to them, and then when it happens, you know, it's like they're dumbfounded, you know, and they don't know which direction to go. So, but I want people to know that there are examples. There are parents who suffered, but they fought and they fought and they fought until, you know, they took the system down in terms of getting justice instead of just getting money when these things happen. Because the first thing they do is to throw some money at the parent, you know?
Yeah. That's what they do. And like I said, I live without that money. I will continue to live. So I need to be able to lay down knowing I still protected now. And now, speaking up for all the voiceless of them out there, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm sitting here like, do I want to go to the funeral? The funeral is next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I just asked my daughter, see how much a ticket is to fly out there. She said, Ma, you really going to go? I said to them, and if they people are going, we got to support each other. I don't know. Is there a mother involved? Is she alive?
No, I heard that the mother passed away a couple of years ago. That's what I heard, but there are other family members that are there.
One of the brothers lived. I heard one of the brothers lived in New York. Is that true?
I don't know, but we'll find out. And then we'll communicate later today, Juanita. But I want to thank you for coming on, and I want to thank you for being the person that you are and doing the work that you do, Juanita. Some of us really appreciate you. You should know that.
And I'm trying to see about lipstick. Or else my plan is to go to the Harlem State Building and do a candle light vigil for him. You know, that my those are my two resources. Go to the funeral or go to call the state office and do a candle light vigil. I know everybody's afraid with that place.
We're going to follow up, but I want to thank you, Juanita, and to stay strong. Stay strong. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Had a poem here somewhere called "Enough" that I'd like to do, because every once in a while a brother gets shot somewhere for no reason. A brother gets his head kicked in for no reason. And you wonder just exactly what in the hell is enough. And that's what this poem is about. It was not enough that we were bought and brought to this home of the slave, locked in the bowels of a floating shithouse, watching those we loved eaten away by plague and insanity. Flesh falling like strips of bark from a termite-infested tree. Bones rotting, turning first to brittle ivory, then to rosin. That was not enough. It was not enough that we were chained by leg irons. Black on black, in black with a piss-stained wall. Forced to heed nature's call through and inside the tatters of rags that strangled our privates. And evidently years of slavery did not appease your need to be superior to something, like a crazed lion hung up on being the king of his corner of the cage. Backs bent under the weight of being everything and having nothing. Minds too, like boomerangs curving back into themselves, kicked and carved by the face-straining smiles that saved my life. That was not enough. Somehow I cannot believe that it will be enough for me to melt with you and integrate without the thoughts of rape and murder. I cannot conceive of peace on earth until I have given you a piece of lead or pipe to end your worthless motherfucking existence. Imagine your nightmares of my sneaking into a veiled or satin bedroom and attacking your daughter, wife, and mother at once, ripping open their bowels sexually like a wishbone. Imagine that and magnify it a million times when you realize that the blinders have been stripped from my eyes and I realize that slavery was no smiling, happy fizzies party. Your ancestors raped my foremothers and I will not forget. I will not forget at Yale or Harvard or Princeton or in hell because you are on my mind. I see you every time my woman walks down the street with her ass on her shoulders. I see you every time I look in the mirror and think of the times I used to pat myself on the back for not being too black after all. I think of you morning, noon, and night, and I wonder just exactly what in hell is enough. Every time I see a rope or gun, I remember. And to top it all off, you ain't through yet. Over 50 you have killed in Mississippi since 1963. That doesn't even begin to begin all of those you have maimed, hit and run over, blinded, poisoned, starved, or castrated. I hope you do not think that a vote for John Kennedy took you off my shit list, because in the street there will only be black and white. There will be no Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, moderates, or any of the rest of that shit you have used to make me forget to hate. There ain't no enough. There ain't no surrender. There is only plot and plan, move and groove, kill. There is no promised land. There is only the promise. The promise is my vow that until we have been nerve gassed, shot down and murdered, or done some of the same ourselves, look over your shoulder, motherfucker. I am coming.